Right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and this is first in the series of accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. This is part one, and I've already prayed that God would anoint this, and so I'm sure that He will, but for the sake of those of you that haven't heard the prayer on the chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, Lord, just I just hate doing something as a performance for people, but I know, Lord, that You're going to anoint it, so we just thank and praise You for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's begin.
Accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit, Part 1. Now you have to consider the experience in your spiritual life of accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to explain to you the meaning of the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
I've brought messages on this before in the past, but we're going into greater detail this time, possibly. I don't know how many messages I've brought on it before, but I have. Okay, go ahead.
The discipline of the Holy Spirit, which you must start considering, does not refer to the inward discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Right, because the discipline, the Lord disciplines people. You can see Him disciplining people all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
These tsunamis, these earthquakes, these pestilences are all disciplines of the Holy Spirit. God is setting up an environment and is causing aggravation to people because of their not receiving. He wants them to be saved. People say, well, He wants us to worship Him because He's got a big ego. That isn't it at all. He knows that most of the people are going to hell in the lake of fire. He could open up the heavens right now and stand on a cloud or stand in midair and shake a rod at the people of this earth and cause the whole earth to tremble and the waves to go, and people would all fall down on their faces and repent immediately. But that isn't the way God works. He says, I value My word above My name, above Me. I am the Word. And so I want, faithful people, because I only want the deserving ones in the kingdom of heaven. I want those that will be disciplined by My word, the Holy Spirit, to do the work for Me on earth. I want to live in them. And I want the world to repent at My word because, you know, after people are in an environment, they start, it doesn't make any difference. You could take a bum or a tramp or just a person that's lived on Skid Row all their life and put them in a king's palace, and they'll start, they won't listen to anything that God says, even if He's the one that did it. You can see, He took King Saul, he was nothing but a sheep herder, he just did exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. And that's the way people really are. And so you take people that have not even herded one sheep in their life. They just laid around and sponged off the government all their life. And God can give them salvation and put them in a nice place and give them the Word of God, give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, teach them about all the aspects of life, spiritual life. Eternal life, life forever, and He can actually move into their bodies, and then they start sinning and thinking they can be lesbians and homosexuals, and that they can sass and be defiant against the people that God has used to get them out of the gutter. And some people say, well, I've never been in the gutter. Spiritually, everyone is in the gutter. Amen?
Amen.
And so you were in the gutter. You know, you act like you're some prestigious thing from out of the world. You're not. John the Baptist didn't even try to put on the prestigious stuff that some of you honyaks in the world put on, or Jesus Himself. He was humble and didn't exalt Himself like tramps and bums do. You find a bum, he's got a sad look on his face, and he finds a half-chewed-on cigar in the gutter and a half chewed on cheeseburger that somebody threw away, and well, all of a sudden he's going to tell you how to rule the world, man. It's got the wrinkles out of his gut and got, you know, some satisfying smoke down into his lungs, and kick his feet up on the cardboard box in the alley and say, well, you know, this is what we got to do to rule this out. You know, that Bush ought to do this, and you know, I don't know about Tony Alamo and all this kind of stuff. I don't know about the Word of God. Let me tell you what I think about God, what my opinion is. Then all of a sudden, he gets hungry again. The wrinkles start appearing on his gut. Mm-hmm. And he starts scanning the gutters again, or going around for handouts, looking for some more cigars or cigar butts or cigarette butts or whatever else. Or hustling people for cigarettes, or panhandling on the street. But that everybody's a big shot these days, you know. Everybody knows because they got computers and they got television sets and they've heard all these different opinions on television, and they're all wrong. Amen.
Amen.
They're all wrong, but yet they have selected opinion of somebody that they admired, and took it up. But they see the Lord, the Word of God is not an opinion, it's the truth. And that's what people have to reconcile themselves with in order to get into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so God is creating environments for people. And this is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go. He puts you with people that you might not exactly like. Like it puts you with pastors that you don't like. And really, maybe the pastor doesn't like you either, but he has to hold his peace, you know, because he figures maybe you're nothing, and that he just really in the natural would throw you out, wouldn't even spit on you. But because of the Lord, he keeps you around, okay, until the day that you finally get to be so big of a shot that you just take off into the wilderness yourself. Okay, you're on your own. We'll get our own cigarette butts. We'll find cheeseburgers, don't you worry about that. We know how to hustle. We've always puked all of our life, and we can still puke some more. Who needs you? Okay, well, I mean, it's for sure God doesn't need you, and I don't need you either with that kind of an attitude, amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
The discipline of the Holy Spirit, which you must start considering, does not refer to the inward discipline of the Holy Spirit. The reason for that is that the function of the Holy Spirit within us as the anointing or the power, the grace, Christ, God in us. The discipline of the Holy Spirit refers to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our outward environment.
Right. If we already have the Lord in us, He's there. And he grows by our accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit in the area that we're at, that we're living in, the environment that we're in, or whatever he does to us to chasten us. That builds up the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us, and that makes Christ grow. If we're willing to accept whatever it is that's presented before us, because this is the way that our flesh, ourselves, our opinions, and our ideas are murdered, because the Holy Spirit has created an environment for us, and as soon as we are able to take whatever the Lord has presented us with, then we grow, the Holy Spirit anoints us stronger within. So the actual discipline of the Holy Spirit is strictly an outward situation. Okay? All right?
Yes.
Because you'll be dead tired sometime, and the Lord, there's a life and death situation, and the Lord will say, get up and take care of it. And you just say, Lord, I'm just too tired. I, me, self, flesh is just too tired, and I'm not a gonna do it. And so you just stay in bed. Otherwise, but if you're really of the Lord and you're going to accept this type of discipline, you did it in the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force or the Army, and you're not going to do it for the Lord, okay, that means that you are going to even be put through more. As soon as you accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, then God creates an environment that's more pleasant for you. Well, man, I haven't had a wife for 20 years now, you know. Well, because you've never really submitted yourself or accepted the discipline of the Holy Spirit to the point to where you can even keep yourself in line. How could you then keep a wife in line? Or how could you do a work for the Lord in the household? How would you keep your children under the discipline or cause them to accept whatever the Lord says or does? If you can't do that, well, then how could you do a work in the church? Well, a lot of people say, can I give my testimony, when there's no testimony at all? They just want to get up, and maybe they're looking for a wife, and there's some women out there, and they just want to stand up and make themselves look good in front of the congregation so that maybe somebody will admire them and get married to them. Or the same thing with a female. She could up and act like a little Bo Peep, you know, or little Alice Blue Gown or somebody. And here inside, she's like a ravening wolf. We've seen that type before, you know. Or that she'll act like Mary Magdalene, you know. That is the converted Mary Magdalene. Or Mary herself, the mother of Jesus. The Madonna. Not the Madonna that does rock and roll. Okay? But then she'll get up there, and all of a sudden she'll get married, and the husband will be on the phone. She just threw a rubber tree plant at me. He said, well, you know, what can I tell you? You're married to her. You better do this and you better do that. And I'll give them advice. And then if they don't take it, I'd say, if they keep it up, I'd say, move into the brother's dorm. Leave her. Okay? I wouldn't put up with that stuff. To me, what I'd do is throw over my knee and spank her real hard. Make her know who's the boss, all right? All right, then go ahead.
I've brought messages on this before. God creates the environments for us. It refers to God's arranging of all people, things, and happenings through which we are being disciplined. The major work of God toward us through the Holy Spirit, aside from the Holy Spirit anointing us within or living within us, is in His outward discipline. These two aspects comprise almost...
No, I'm talking... The Lord will check you, but that's not discipline. That's He's checking you. Don't do this, or watch out. That's a different thing. But disciplining you, I mean, is the same thing as spanking you. Okay? And some people just rejoice in saying, oh, I just... You know, the Lord really spanked me, and they just love to revel in speaking about how God really put the skids to them, you know, and really kept them weepy or crying all night long, and put them on a fast or something. And you'll hear them talk about it, and they'll laugh about it and stuff. I see them on different Christian programs, supposed to be Christian programs on the air, and that isn't anything. Would it be, you'd laugh and joke about getting your spankings if your mother or dad spanked you? I mean, really... enough to make you change your attitude? No, you wouldn't joke and laugh about that. It's not funny. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're not going to joke and laugh about if you're 20 years you want to be married and the Lord creates an environment for you to where you can't be married, or puts it into the hearts of every female around it that you're a laughing stock among them. Or the same thing with... a female that wants to get married. There's one of them that came into the church, and she just started, she had a very familiar spirit, and she's just stalking around the place as though she came in, was a wolf in the chicken house, just trying to pick the right rooster. And so she had to have the skids put to her. We have a man. That happens all the time. I have to separate them and put them in a different church here and there, you know, to get it to where they grow in the Lord first before you ever even want them to be married to any young baby Christian. They come in and they think that they can just do whatever they want in the body of Christ. And my position that the Lord has given me is to train up people in the way they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. They think that because they got saved and learned a few verses in the Bible that they're completely 100% mature. And that just isn't so. Now, some of them, the Lord does give a husband to, or a wife to, right away. But they're a different breed. But there's some of them that are just in the church to look for something like that, not to serve the Lord. If a person wants to really serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they don't even care, think about marriage. I didn't when I first got saved, and God almost immediately gave me Susie. And she wasn't looking for a husband either. And he immediately gave me to her. He gave me to her first in a vision, and then just right after that, I got this vision. And I saw it. It was a dream, and then all of a sudden I woke up, and it became a vision. Dreams happen when you're sleeping. Visions happen when you're awake. I had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared right before me with my eyes wide open. I was wide awake. It wasn't any metaphysical, queasy, quizzical type thing. I mean, he just appeared right in front of me just as plain as you are, even more plain. So, the discipline of the Holy Spirit is an outward working of the Holy Spirit. Then go ahead.
These two aspects comprise almost the complete work of the Holy Spirit. For example, Romans chapter 8, which speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit, tells us in the first part how the Holy Spirit, which contains the law of life, is able to set us free from sin, and how that through him we can put to death the deeds of the body. This chapter also tells us how the Holy Spirit guides us so that we may live according to God, to Christ, and it tells us finally how Christ helps our infirmities, and the Holy Spirit within us prays for us, which is Christ. All these activities are the work of the Holy Spirit within us as the life-giving Spirit that anoints us within. In the latter part of this chapter, we can read, quote, "To them that love God, all things work together for good."
So if you're in what you consider a bad situation, a bad environment, it's for your good. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I had to keep those scriptures in mind when I was thrown in prison for the gospel. I said, this is horrible. I remember it was cold. I was in Colorado, and I had this huge amount of stuff to carry, a mattress and everything like that, and I had to walk about a mile to get to the different unit that I had to be in, and I went in there, and here's all new people, and they were talking. Some of them are giving you dirty looks, and a couple of them are trying to be helpful, and then I get to set your stuff down. And before that, I had to go through El Reno, where it's just like pigeons are flying in and out of the windows, and it's like a central place where people stop over, and every kind of person in the world inside of there. Even Jewish rabbis were in there, and people that were from every walk of life and every nationality and every race. And some of them were murderers, and some of them were extortioners, and every kind of wicked thing. And, you know, I had to be in the Holy Spirit because I never knew who the Lord wanted me to witness and testify to. Then they'd march you from that place over to the chow hall, and you'd have to go in there, and you had to eat within a certain period of time. If not, they say, okay, it's over, get up. And no, you can't take any bread with you or anything like that into your cells. And there's no commissary at El Reno. You can't buy anything there. You don't even have any money on the books there. And then they transfer you. Now El Reno has changed, and it's a new building and all that, and it's like pods, they call them. And some of the guards are really cruel also to you. And you have to be in the spirit. You've got to receive that discipline or whatever it is, because if you don't, you wind up being in there for the rest of your life. Amen?
Amen.
You have to receive it. I say, Lord, what did I do? I mean, do I deserve this? Or but the Lord says, you know, you're just going through this to show people that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you received the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and not only you're filled with it, but you also received the discipline of the Holy Spirit, so that you can tell other people how it is. You get put through basic training, you know, all the time. Because the Lord creates different environments so that you'll have the experience to be able to pass it on to others. So now that people go into prison, I can tell them, look, here's what you do, here's what you do. And I have all kinds of friends. I have people, Marco calls me almost every day, amen?
Amen.
In prison, and Big Buffalo, Young Buffalo calls me from Mexico, and all kinds of people write me from out of prison. And I've led people to the Lord that are now in heaven. Hamilton, Liam Hamilton, I led to the Lord. Bogey, who is the dad of Mila Jovovich, who played the part of... she's in a lot of movies. Big... What?
Oh, Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. She was the star of Joan of Arc. And her dad was in prison with me. He used to be my... He used to cook stuff for me. And, you know... I went through it like a hot knife through butter. Okay? And it wouldn't have done any good for me to rebel. I mean, what good would that do? What good would that do? And finally, I even started winning the warden, and all kinds of different people would come and talk to me about the Lord and the captain. The captain was my big defender in there. He said, man, he says, you're lucky that I'm in here. He says, because there's a lot of people that don't like the Lord, and they don't like you because you are of the Lord, and I do all these things for you. I tell them, look, you know, stay away, don't do this and do that, because I'm the captain. And so, you know, you just have to learn to go through it. I didn't say, God, you know, what is this? What is this? You know, I've done all these things, I've won all these souls, and now you put me through. Hey, the Apostle Paul was in prison, amen?
Yes.
Jesus went to prison, he was beaten. Who are you? Who am I? Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to be a Christian, be one. If you're going to be a devil, then get out. You measure up as the devil, then you get out. Don't come in here, because this is a Christian church. All right? You want to be a lesbian? Go to a lesbian bar. You want to be a homosexual? Go to a homosexual bar. Don't be hanging around here. Because I don't have the doctrine. The Bible doesn't have the doctrine that we have to all live together. The Bible says to separate myself from the world, but go and witness to them. And that's about it, okay? That's about it. And that I'm to go through whatever I have to go through in order to be able to be a man of the Lord and get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people are prisoners of the devil, and some people are prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know who my jail keeper is. It's Jesus, okay? And he leads and guides and directs me, and I do that willingly and wantingly and knowingly. I don't want anything else or anybody else, and if you do, then get out of this church, because nobody belongs here that doesn't have that same mind. Nobody belongs here if you don't have that same mind. You want to be somebody, you want to go and taste the world and everything that I've already done and found out that it's nothing, go. And don't let the door bang you in the rear end when you're going out the door. Just get. Okay, what else?
This speaks of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit disciplining us in our outward environment. The work of this outward discipline of the Holy Spirit coordinates with him, the Holy Spirit within, the inward moving of the Holy Spirit, and the leading, guiding, and direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit arranges and determines everything that comes upon us, which is according to the will of God. Although in many instances this causes temporal pain and trouble.
Temporary pain, temporary trouble. I don't know why I had to go through there when I was going through, but I know now. There were people in that prison that needed to be saved. And God knew I was tough enough to go in there and handle whatever it is. I had all kinds of adversity from the guards. A lot of them were Catholics, and they didn't like this literature that I wrote about Catholics. Someone would come and say, "Tell your people not to put these literature on my car." I said, "How do they know it?" "Don't sass me." I says, "Well, I'm not sassy. I'm just asking you, can you give us a description of your car and a photograph, possibly?" Because a lot of cars look the same, and say, "It's not me here. I'm in prison, man. You know, I'm here in prison. That isn't me that's putting that on your car, so don't take it out on me. Or I'll report you to Internal Affairs." And I did. In Washington, D.C., I had a senator or a congressman. What was it, congressman? That was batting for me, too. I wasn't trying to pull rank on him or anything, but, you know, when they just get that bad, I had to. The Lord wanted, and Liam Hamilton told me, "I didn't get to save so much as what you said." You people heard him say that, didn't
yes.
you? He said it was your boldness to stand up to these different gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, the Tongues, the Mexican Mafia, all the different gangs that were in there, the Dirty White Boys, the Nazis, the skinheads, all those people. I wouldn't take anything. I'd just say, "Lucky to you," you know, and I'd tell them. And they got saved because they saw the boldness. And I said the same thing to, like, one of the guards came and told me, he says, "You know, I don't really like you saying that Mary was just an incubator for Christ." And I says, "I don't care what you think." And he backed out into the corner of that office, and the window was, you know, there's a window there in the hallway, so all the people were waiting there for the mail, and they could see it. I says, "Do you think I care what you think? I'm in here for the gospel's sake. And if you think I'm going to back down now, you stinking weasel, you, now that I'm in here, I wrote what I believe, and that's the way it is." That's all she was a Jewish girl that God used to incubate the Son of the Living God. And he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. She was nothing but a young Jewish girl. She's no deity at all. Like you can. And he backed off into the corner and cringed. And I didn't even realize, I forgot that I was in prison for a while there, because the Holy Spirit just took me over. And I says, "You are not supposed to be bringing up your religious belief to me. I'm in prison here serving my time." And I said, "If you do this anymore, I'm going to report you to Internal Affairs. All right? Now you bug off." And I walked out, and those guys says, "God, what did you say to that guy?" And he looked like he was scared. And I said, "I don't care." I said, he was saying, you know, he was... All he is a CO, a correctional officer, supposed to be. And he's asking for all these pornographic books from these different guys that have, "Let me borrow your books," and stuff like that. And he's trying to tell me what the Bible says. I said, "Don't you tell me what the Bible says. I'm the Bible teacher. I'll tell you what it says, all right? Just let's get that straight." I didn't threaten him or anything. I just was really indignant at him. And so this is what got a lot of people saved, is they saw that I didn't, I just am a Christian, okay? I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And so finally I had to, because he was the one that was starting the rumor that there was 100 girls serenading me under my window, my cell, And you can't even get on that compound except for visiting hours, and you sure can't go around to the windows of the inmates. And so he was just doing all this. So I reported it to Internal Affairs. And then he called me in the office. He says, "Man, you sure got me in a lot of trouble." I says, "Thank you. You just made my day by telling me that. All right? I appreciate that." I said, "You ought to be more careful of what you say and do, friend. Say, I'm not against you, but you try to get me killed in here or make some false statements about me." And I said, "My testimony is extremely important to me, and God has me here for a purpose. And I believe one of the purposes is to straighten you out." Okay? So I've been there, I figure, as a messenger from the Lord to straighten the people in prison out. Amen?
Amen.
And I did. That's why a lot of them are saved today. Okay, let's go. So don't question what the Lord says. All things work together for good. It worked good, didn't it?
Amen.
To them that are what? Hmm? Say it.
All things to them that... All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose.
According to His purpose. What is His purpose? His purpose is that He lives inside of us, and that we, wherever He places us, that we're soul winners. That we don't murmur and complain about what we have to go through. If you don't get sex, or enough sex, or enough sex to satisfy your soul, your flesh, that is, your soulish life, or that you don't get the exact husband or wife that you want, or that you can't get married and that's all you're in here for, is to find a wife that doesn't have AIDS or a man that doesn't have AIDS. That isn't what this gospel is all about. It isn't to satisfy you. You're called to satisfy the Lord, for you're to serve Him and please God, okay?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Because if you're not here to please yourself, then that's self, that's flesh. That's your opinion, that's your idea, and they're wrong. The Lord has called us to serve Him, okay? You got the wrong idea about the ministry. You think that God is supposed to serve us. God has more than served you and I and everybody else. He gave His only begotten Son. That's enough for a wretch like you or me. Amen?
Amen.
Now it's your turn. You're supposed to take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. Serve Him. The Bible says, no, you're to serve God. Amen? That's what Jesus told the devil. And Paul said, "I, Paul, a servant, a slave of God, of Christ." Amen?
Amen.
Where do you people get off that you would think that God is supposed to serve you? You got a lot of guts, a lot of gall. This is the way I talk to the people in prison. I'm no different in prison or out. Okay, I'm not going to turn into a wimp in prison. I obeyed what the Lord said while I was in prison, and I do now. And you better do the same, because you can. If the power of the Lord is in you, you can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say that we can do all things in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
That strengthens us to do it. All right. Okay, then go ahead.
Although in many instances this causes temporal pain and trouble, yet in the end it is for the good of those who love God, that they may be conformed unto the image of His Son, Christ Jesus.
And His Son, Christ Jesus, His will was to serve the Father, to just do what the Father says. He never one time thought it was right for the Father to serve Him. Either did Paul or any of the other servants of the Lord. If you're a servant, you don't tell the bossum what to do. The bossum tells you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is the bossum. You're supposed to be a servant. Well, oh God, we didn't realize that. Everybody just says, "The Lord blessed me oh, the Lord gave me this, the Lord gave me that, the Lord gave me this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. That makes me sick to my stomach. You already have more than you deserve, you kind of people like that. Do musical instruments, music lessons, everything under the sun, plenty of clothes, more than enough, more than the people out in the world have. Plenty of food, any kind of food. You're a bunch of ungrateful louts. Serve God. Worship God, and Him only shall you serve. S-E-R-V-E. Amen?
Amen.
He's not supposed to serve you. He already did more than you deserve. And provided more than you're even thankful for, and even more than you've even accepted. Don't be so wondering if... you like God or not. You better be worried about if He likes you or not, okay? Or love, He loved you enough to die on the cross, and that's as far as it goes. And if you love Him back, then He'll give you guidance, lead you, and give you all the things that He's provided for you. But if you don't get anything, and He will, in order to try to teach you to do that, and I'm trying to teach you these things that He wants me to teach you, so that you can avoid a lot of heartache and suffering. And it can save a lot of years, okay, what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you right from the shoulder. You try to make it look as though God's supposed to serve you instead of you serving God, and you might as well just check out right now if that's the way you want it, because God isn't going to do what you want. You're going to do what He wants, or else you're not going to make it. You might as well just get that down right now. And that's why God called me. I could be a politician if I was not of the Lord, but I am of the Lord, and I'm not a politician. I'm going to tell you like it is, all right? Okay, go ahead.
This arrangement is what we need. I mean by the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Why does the word of the Holy Spirit within us require the coordination of outward discipline? It is because most likely, or usually, the inward working of the Holy Spirit alone is not sufficient. You could say that the inward working of the Holy Spirit is largely for the obedient ones, and the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit is mainly for the stiff-necked ones.
Right. Those ones that complain about not getting enough of this or enough of that are the stiff-necked ones. You're getting it good from the Lord. You're getting just what you deserve. But you haven't got enough brains or spiritual intelligence to know it. But this is what this message is about now, is to brighten up your life, to give you some intelligence. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual, eternal intelligence. This isn't for people that don't want to serve. It's for you if you don't want to serve the Lord. I'm telling you why things are happening to you the way they are. You can change them. Because, as I said, if you do everything that the Lord says and accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, then your entire environment will change for something that more pleasant for you. God will make life more pleasant. And the sooner that you accept that, the sooner you're going to enjoy. Now, the Lord told me that through Susie. I says, I'm not going to work in some stinking motel and be a maid. And she says, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. Because you're a do-it-yourself kid, you've always made big money, and you've always called the shots, and you're going to go through the discipline of the Holy Spirit. God made me handle a 50th-rate hotel, or maybe a 200-rate hotel, B, Z-class, And I was the manager. I was the desk clerk. I was the maintenance man and the maid. I had to make the beds, clean the showers, clean the sinks, clean the laundry. And this is me right off the streets. And same thing with Buddy Bigelow. He used my brush, and I never had a dandruff in my life. And he would go in the bathtub, and they'd leave a big ring around the tub there. And I'd say, Sue, I mean, tell that weasel to go in there and clean that tub, man. I'm like, you clean it. What? This is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Look at Buddy Bigelow is going to go down the tubes, Tony. The sooner you receive that you're supposed to be the servant of the Lord, just do it and shut your mouth. I'm so glad and so happy that God gave me that instructions when I was just a baby Christian, because she says the sooner you just die out and just comply with what I'm telling you that the Lord says to do, the sooner God's going to raise you up. You're going to be big in the ministry. And but you're not going to get there at all if you don't do what the Lord says to do. Be pliable. If he tells you to clean a bathtub, clean it. It's like this guy in the Bible that the prophet says, go dunk yourself seven times in the Jordan. Well, I don't want to go in the Jordan. It's a dirty river. I want to go to my own river. One of his men said, nah, just go and do it, man. If he told you to do something difficult like standing on your head and stacking BBs or something, then you'd have something to complain about. But go over to the river and dunk yourself in there seven times and you won't have leprosy anymore. It's all right. They went over there and, oh, God, he dunked once, and oh, my God, and twice. And then all three times, and he held his nose. And then after seven times, he comes up, and the leprosy is gone. Amen?
Amen.
Do what the Lord says, and the leprosy, your bad attitude, your self-indulgent ways, forget them. Let them be mortified by the Holy Spirit. Do things God's way, because you're to be his servant, and he's not going to serve you. But if you do what he says, then you're part of his body, and he always treats his own body right. Amen?
Yeah.
You're not going to get around that. No matter how cunning or crafty or intelligent you think you are, you're the biggest dummy in the world if you think it's going to happen any other way. The best way to beat God, and the only way to beat him, is to comply with him. Amen?
Amen?
And really, you're not beating him. Nobody can beat God. But you can get to where the Lord wants you to be quickly by just complying. Amen?
Amen.
So I went in there and diligently got some Babo or some Comet and threw it on the thing and splashed water on it and took a towel or something and wiped it off. And then I got in the tub after I filled it. And everything was still okay. Amen? And here I am. We've got the strongest work in the world now. Amen?
Amen.
We get all these nice letters, people getting saved, churches popping up all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
And that was just for cleaning a bathtub? Is that so hard? Or cleaning up like being like a maid, you know, putting on the thing and everything? I'm macho, man. I'm not going to clean nobody's taking showers. That's for women. Well, no, it's for you, man. Oh, God. Have mercy on me. This is so hard. It wasn't hard at all once I started doing this. I thought, well, this isn't so bad, you know. Sheets are light. You know, you just pull them off, throw them in a bundle. He didn't ask me. You know, I've worked out with weights for years, you know, heavy weights and stuff in gyms. And this was easy. You know, you just wash the sink. So I wound up washing a lot of people's sinks and tubs. Amen? In their showers. And getting to the laundry. And then also I was running a wedding chapel there. Cupid's Wedding Chapel. I called my brother up and I says, the phone answered and it says, Cupid's Wedding Chapel. And he says, oh my God, what are you into now? My brother Danny. I said, well, you know, it's a wedding chapel over here in Las Vegas. So, anyway, see, that I received the discipline of the... That was the discipline of the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't have to do that now. I went through that disciplining. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go on. Maybe you learned something today, amen?
Amen.
Hopefully, right?
Right.
Don't think you're so high and mighty or something. You're a servant of the Lord. You're supposed to be dead to the world and concerns of whatever you have to do, okay? Whatever you do, do it cheerfully as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So all the time I'm doing this, I'm not cleaning this room for these people, dirty, filthy scums. I'm doing this for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If you look at it that way, then everything is fine. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're looking at it the way the Lord tells you to do it. Do all things as unto the Lord. Would you wash the Lord's feet?
Yes.
I'm not going to wash his sticky feet. Well, the Lord says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of mine, you did it unto me. There was this black guy in the church, he says, I'm not washing no feet. I said, well, these are the saints' feet, and you're going to wash them, or else, you know, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. Well, then I ain't going, and he just walked right out the door, and that was the end of him. This guy was, you know, he's the Lord, he thought, you know. The Lord did it, but he's too good to do it. The Lord did all these things. Look at him as our example, amen? And then do likewise, follow his footsteps. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just preach, he washed feet. Feets. All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
When the Holy Spirit moves and anoints within us, and we obey that leading which the Lord gives to us, God's will is accomplished and his attributes are increased within us. Therefore, the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit is to some extent mainly for the obedient ones. However, if we're stubborn, if we do not obey the inner anointing, and we rebel time after time, the Holy Spirit is compelled to raise up an environment to chasten and discipline us, thereby causing us to submit to God's will. Therefore, the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us is a very sweet act of God's love toward us and his original desire, while the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit is an act of God's hand, an act which he is compelled, because he loves us, to perform. It is something additional to that which is within us. Therefore, both in the original desire of God and in the New Testament teaching, the place of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is not as important as that of the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us. Much is said in his word about the Holy Spirit as the indwelling anointing of God in us, such as the leading of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, and our need to live in the Holy Spirit, and walk according to the Holy Spirit, and bear fruit through the Holy Spirit, on and on, etc. However, the Bible says very little in a literal way about the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it doesn't say discipline of the Holy Spirit, but it does say that God caused this Saul to be destroyed. And first he was all these things. He showed him that David was a better man than him. Amen?
Amen.
Saul kills his thousands. David his 10,000s. All the females in Israel were saying. This here hurt his ego. And then he had to have David go in and play the harp and say, sing psalms unto him and so on and so. And then all the other things that Saul had to go through. The Spirit of God departed from him because he wasn't willing to be a servant, to serve God as he wanted to. He had his own way, his own ideas, his own everything. Everything he did was his own idea, his own opinion. Well, I'm supposed to kill all the sheep, but, God told me to do that. Yeah, but I saved him to do this and that. They make up their own opinions. Okay, then what? So God didn't like him, pulled the spirit out of him, and that was it. They let him get killed. Go ahead.
For sure, let me read that. The Bible says very little in a literal way about the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and for sure it contains no such phrase. This is because the discipline of the Holy Spirit is not a matter which is pleasant to God's feeling. The Bible is full of Him disciplining people. The phrase is just not there. Such a condition may be likened to the fact that most fathers prepare good things for their children, not whips or rods. In many families, the father is forced to resort to rebuking and spanking because of the children's stubbornness and refusal to do what the Lord says, their rebellion, in other words. In fact, to the feeling of the father, such chastenings are never very pleasant, but they're necessary. God says that we are to do that because they won't die. They'll shapen up. They'll be strong if you do it. If you don't do it sufficiently, they will not grow up in the likeness of the Lord. The same thing goes for that which God has prepared for us in the New Testament, is always positive. But because of our stubbornness, lawlessness, and disobedience, God has to discipline us. In a normal situation, among the saints in a church, the anointing of the Holy Spirit must always exceed the discipline of the Holy Spirit. There must not be the constant encountering of discipline. It is always abnormal if the children in a family are spanked every day. Therefore, when we accept the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we must not deem it to be a pleasant thing. Some brothers and sisters seem to glory in testifying of their experience while being disciplined by the Holy Spirit. This must not be. No child is proud after being punished by his father. In the same manner, we must feel ashamed when we receive the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and be afraid when we're being disciplined by the Holy Spirit, because God could get too angry at us, so angry at us that we will not be able to repent. We must beware of our own defiance or stubbornness, lawlessness and disobedience, which causes us to receive punishment from the Lord, which really is our Father. There's no doubt that He chastens me because He loves me. But when I speak of His chastisement, it is not my glory! It is because I am so rebellious and stubborn, even as a mule without understanding, that God must discipline me. This is my shame. Therefore, we must not brag about being disciplined that we receive from the Lord. All those who brag about being disciplined by the Holy Spirit are those who do not know the nature of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Because the discipline of the Holy Spirit is such an unpleasant thing, God in His original thought put greater emphasis on the inner anointing, which is of a positive nature, than on the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit, which is for us a positive nature, but it's a negative nature, one that God would love not to do. But judging from our condition, the discipline of the Holy Spirit is most necessary, because we are by nature rebellious, lawless, and disobedient. Many times we disregard and disobey the moving and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it seems to most people that His anointing alone, which is His sweet act, is not enough to accomplish His purpose, but that we need, in addition, the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit, so that it would be a coordinating thing or factor to chastise us and deal with us, that we may be subdued by God. Therefore, the discipline of the Holy Spirit must not be neglected in our experience. That's all for part one. Tomorrow we'll do part two, which is the purpose of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, what it is for.
Right, and so you may feel, you know, a lot of people feel, you know, they learn one lesson and that's it, but there's many lessons on this, so don't feel or don't assume that you know it all right? Even after we get through with the entire series, don't feel that you know it all, because you haven't been through a lot of it experientially, and you're going to experience it so that you'll be able to explain these things in a greater way in the future. But there's much more to learn about that. And so until tomorrow, chapter 14 in 2 Samuel and part 2 of accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. This is Tony Alamo. Remember to keep your mind on the Lord. Meditate on these things all day and night throughout the day. Because too many people get out of character. And when I say character, I'm talking about you're supposed to have this same response to everything as the Lord Jesus does. You are to be his servant. You are either his servant or you're the servant of Satan. And always remember that. Meditate on it. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And if I'm not, I'd sure like to be saying good evening or good morning, or good afternoon, whatever it is, and keep praising the Lord. Amen and amen.